Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Friday, January 12th. Coming up, we'll hear a conversation with reporter Dave McKinney about his recent coverage of Donald Trump's candidacy for Illinois' March 19th primary. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Prepare for high winds and dangerously low temperatures in the days ahead. The National Weather Service has issued a wind advisory starting at noon today and lasting until 6 a.m. tomorrow. The advisory includes Springfield, Champaign, and Danville, with some gusts up to 50 miles per hour. IPM meteorologist Andrew Pritchard tells how dangerously cold the weather will be this weekend.
But rapidly falling temperatures and increasingly gusty winds will lead to slick spots and patchy blowing snow. The wind sticks around through the weekend as temperatures plummet, creating dangerously cold conditions. The worst of the cold air settles over central Illinois Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, with single-digit high temperatures and overnight lows and wind chills well below zero.
We've opened a winter weather resource center on ipmnewsroom.org. It has links to the latest forecasts, local warming centers, and information on snow clearing priorities in local cities. Again, that's at ipmnewsroom.org. Illinois is awarding a $10 million grant to help a cancer treatment center in Southern Illinois expand. A 20,000-square-foot addition is planned for the Southern Illinois Healthcare Cancer Institute in Carterville, which first opened in 2015. Governor J.B. Pritzker says the region deserves to get quality care closer to home.
And that means eliminating rural health disparities, expanding preventative care, improving quality of life, providing affordable, accessible treatment for every Illinoisan. SIH Cancer Institute is the embodiment and realization of these goals.
The money will help pay for more exam rooms, offices, a larger waiting room, and more blood transfusion stations. The grant is part of Rebuild Illinois, the state's $45 billion capital construction program. There was a nearly 50% jump in the number of people from other states who came to Illinois for an abortion the year Roe v. Wade was overturned. That's according to new data from the state's public health department. Kristen Schorsch reports.
The new data is from 2022, when federal protection for abortions ended. Nearly 17,000 people from outside Illinois came here for an abortion that year. The procedure is still legal in Illinois, a haven for abortion rights. While other states have banned abortion or made it harder to get. There was a slight decrease in the number of Illinois residents who received abortions in 2022. Overall, there were just over 56,000 abortions performed in the state that year, a 9% jump from the previous year. Illinois is no longer releasing which counties or states patients live to protect their privacy and safety. Kristen Schorsch, WBEZ News.
Agriculture officials want Congress to pass a farm bill as soon as possible. As Harvest Public Media's Sheila Brummer reports, that might be a tall order.
The farm bill was supposed to be renewed last year. President Biden signed a one-year extension for the five-year legislation that expires in September. Iowa Farm Bureau President Brent Johnson recently traveled to Washington, D.C. to lobby members of the Agricultural Committee to tackle the bill in the next few months.
In this presidential election year, national politics is going to get in the way, and we really don't need this farm bill to be extended off into the new administration. That's going to be a really long time.
The bill provides a safety net in the form of subsidies, crop insurance, trade, and conservation programs. However, most of the funding, more than 80%, goes toward food programs. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Sheila Brummer.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. The Fighting Illini men's basketball team defeated the Michigan State Spartans at home last night 71-68. Illinois senior forward Marcus Domask led the Illini with 15 points and 5 assists. The Illini have an overall record of 12-3 and are 3-1 in Big Ten conference play. Illinois will host the Maryland Terrapins next on Sunday, January 14th at 1 p.m. Still to come, we'll hear a conversation with reporter Dave McKinney about his recent coverage of Donald Trump's candidacy for Illinois' March 19th primary. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
Season 4 of All Creatures Great and Small from Masterpiece picks up in 1940 as Europe is engulfed in war. With Tristan on military duty, Siegfried and James enlist extra hands to help manage the practice. James contemplates his future as he grapples with the uncertainty of potentially being called into service. Members can binge all 7 new episodes and catch up on previous seasons now with WILL Passport. Learn more at will.illinois.edu/passport.
Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump has submitted his paperwork to get on Illinois' ballot this spring, but his filing with the State Board of Elections was met with drama on multiple fronts. Politics reporter Dave McKinney broke 2 stories on Trump's candidacy for Illinois' March 19th primary. He spoke with WBEZ's Melba Lara.
Dave, let's start first with your story from the weekend. Trump is refusing to sign Illinois' loyalty oath. What is that?
Well, Melba, Illinois has had this obscure document that candidates sometimes submit as part of their election paperwork. It dates back to the 1950s, and it's really a vestige from the McCarthy Red Scare era. The oath used to be a compulsory thing in order to get on the ballot, and candidates had to assert that they weren't communists and, in the line that's relevant to Trump, won't advocate for the overthrow of the government. Now, federal courts have determined long ago that this oath is unconstitutional on free speech grounds, but the legislature, they never took it out of Illinois' law books, so it remains for candidates to sign or not sign when they submit paperwork to get on the ballot.
And Donald Trump's not signing that, is he?
Well, I mean, that's where the drama comes in. When Trump ran as a presidential candidate in Illinois in 2016 and in 2020, he signed the loyalty oath, but not this time. I mean, I literally stumbled upon this when I was looking at who was circulating Trump's nominating petitions this time, and I noticed that the loyalty oath was missing, and so I called a source at the State Board of Elections, and he confirmed that that was the case. Now, Trump's campaign gave me a statement, but it didn't really provide a reason why he didn't sign it after doing it 2 previous times. And let's remember the timing here, Melba. Trump chose not to submit this just days before the 3-year anniversary of the January 6th insurrection, for which he's been criminally charged.
And Dave, I noticed this weekend that this got a lot of attention. Even President Biden was weighing in on the story.
I know. I mean, President Biden's campaign, they didn't know about this until I called them. They soon began circulating the story because it coincided with a major speech that Biden delivered on Trump's role in the January 6th insurrection. On Facebook, Biden said, and I quote here, "I said Donald Trump is willing to sacrifice our democracy to put himself in power. I wasn't exaggerating." Now, Biden signed Illinois' loyalty oath, as did Republican Ron DeSantis, but Republicans Nikki Haley and Chris Christie did not.
Dave, I want to move on to another sticking point with Trump's candidacy. When he did file in Illinois, he was met with a challenge to his nominating petitions to get him booted from the ballot over his ties to the January 6th riot. This is also happening in other states. Why is this an issue in Illinois?
Well, yeah, as you point out, I mean, there are pending objections to Trump's candidacy in 15 other states. And 2 states, Colorado and Maine, they've already knocked him off the ballot. In Illinois and all of those states, the objections center on language in the 14th Amendment that was ratified right after the Civil War, and the language bars insurrectionists from seeking public office. Here in Illinois, the objection was brought by a national voting rights group, 5 Illinois voters, and 2 law firms from Chicago. Now, the U.S. Supreme Court recently agreed to review the Colorado case, and a decision is really going to dictate the direction that this Illinois objection goes.
And until the U.S. Supreme Court weighs in procedurally, what's going to happen next in Illinois?
I mean, we're 10 weeks out from our primary elections, and the first step here is the objection is going to go to the nonpartisan State Board of Elections, and they're going to have a meeting on this January 30th. If this group of objectors doesn't get what it wants from the State Election Board and the U.S. Supreme Court still hasn't given any kind of guidance here, I think what you're going to see is that this is going to move into Illinois' court system. And what you have to remember about the Illinois Supreme Court, where all of this could land, there's a 5-2 Democratic majority on the court.
Dave, always great to talk to you. Thanks for the update.
Thanks, Melba.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be cloudy and windy with rain likely and a high of 45 degrees. Rain may mix with or change to snow late in the day. Southeast wind gusting up to 30 miles per hour. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Reginald Hardwick, Alex Degman, Kristen Schorsch, Sheila Brummer, Colin Highslope, and Dave McKinney. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Tuesday. Have a great weekend.